Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
When you have an abortion, what exactly do you do to like have the abortion?
You go to the doctor and they put this little straw inside of your cervix and then inside of your uterus, and then they just suck the pregnancy out. And it was like a crappy dentist appointment or something. It was just like, this is like a body thing that's kind of uncomfortable, but then it was over and I felt really just grateful that I wasn't pregnant anymore.
Thank you so much. It was great to meet you.
You too. Thanks, guys.
All right, bye, Amelia.
Okay, bye. Hi, I'm Amelia Bono. To learn more about me and my work with Shout Your Abortion, we just published a new book. Check the link down below.
That is an excerpt from a viral video called Kids Meet Someone Who's Had an Abortion, part of the Shout Your Abortion campaign. When did abortion go from being something that everyone agreed should be rare, no one wants to have an abortion, it's a necessary evil, that was the way it was usually portrayed, to being a positive good, something that's good that you can talk about with kids? You can even describe it and say it was just like going to the dentist office, something like that. And the kids walk away apparently convinced. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 10th of January. We're going to be talking about that viral video, Kids Meet Someone Who's Had an Abortion. Scott Klusendorf of the Life Training Institute will be our guest a little bit later. Pastor Matt Harrison will join us to talk about being and remaining Lutheran. Scott Klusendorf is a regular guest. He's president of Life Training Institute, and he's author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. Scott, welcome back.
Good to be back, Todd. Happy New Year.
You track these things very closely. I'm wondering, when did you detect the shift from abortion as necessary evil, nobody wants to do this, let's keep it safe, legal, and rare, to abortion is a positive good, let's tell everybody about it and extol its virtues?
Well, you're exactly right about that transition. If you remember back to 1992, Bill Clinton ran on the platform that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. And that's where the American public was, and he tapped into that. And he understood that Americans really didn't like abortion, didn't want it, but they probably also didn't want to make it illegal. And he tapped into that sentiment. Well, about 6 years ago, a book was written by a feminist named Katha Paulett called Pro, Reclaiming Abortion Rights. And the thesis of that book is really simple. Stop apologizing for abortion. Bill Clinton didn't help us. He hurt us. We need to be people who unequivocally stand for unrestricted abortion on demand without apology. And if you don't like that, too bad. And Paulett's book, which I wrote a review for at Christian Research Journal, is the first of that kind of genre of apologetic for abortion. Then we started seeing things like what we have already seen in the last year or so, this Shout Your Abortion movement, the idea that, hey, we're just going to celebrate it and let the whole world know that we've had one, and too bad if you find that offensive. Then you had, even on the so-called Christian left, you had guys like Willie Parker, a Christian abortionist, who writes a book justifying his trade and basically saying, hey, I'm doing the Lord's work. I'm a good Samaritan here. So those are some of the big highlights of this shift that you've talked about. And you're right about it. That is the shift they're trying. I don't think it's going to work, but that's where they're at.
Now, the video that we're going to discuss is literally a woman who has had an abortion.
Yes.
Explaining it to children, answering their questions, and kind of, I would say, trying to take both the yuck factor and the truth out of the whole issue. What was your impression?
Well, it is a classic clinic in bad thinking. In fact, one of the things we teach at LTI is that the pro-life argument should be stated as a syllogism to keep people on message, to make sure people don't change the subject on us. And our pro-life syllogism is very simple. Premise one, it's wrong to intentionally kill an innocent human being. Premise two, abortion intentionally kills an innocent human being. Conclusion, therefore abortion is wrong. And then we highlight five bad ways that people respond to that syllogism. Instead of refuting it, they either assume the unborn aren't human, or they attack the pro-lifer instead of attacking his argument, or they make assertions rather than arguments, or they confuse functioning as a human with being a human, or they hide behind the hard cases. And this video does all of them. I mean, this is going to become Exhibit A in my pro-life apologetics training, because they have done me a marvelous favor of putting all these fallacies right there in the short video that I can use to illustrate to the people we're training. I've never seen a piece so filled with fallacious reasoning.
What do you think they're doing by aiming this not at, say, a group of interested young people, but at children?
Well, I think every propaganda movement has recognized that if you can capture kids early, that maybe you stand a better chance of keeping them in the fold as adults. And that's what we see going on here. I mean, anybody who's taken a seventh grade logic class will immediately see the fallacious reasoning in this. I mean, let me just give you a couple of examples. We get the fallacy known as begging the question, where you assume what you're trying to prove. This video, for example, begins by saying, well, there's many people who can't afford to have another baby, and that's why we need abortion. Well, would anybody argue that we can kill two-year-olds who are too expensive? No, they only argue that way because they assume the unborn are not human. And this is that fallacy of begging the question. We also get the example of attacking the person rather than refuting their argument. We're told that these people who are pro-life, they really don't care about other things. They don't care about race issues. They don't care about children once they're born. Look, they're all a bunch of white males. Well, let me ask this. Suppose that those who made this video, suppose pro-lifers said, okay, we're going to give you everything you want. We're going to give you all black women as the face of the pro-life movement. We're going to care for every injustice over the planet, everywhere. We'll take them all on and do them better than anybody else. Would these people who support abortion then come around to our point of view and start supporting the unborn? No, this is all one big red herring.
You mentioned some other fallacies there that are on full display, and one of them being appealing to hard cases. Does the video do that?
Well, in so many ways, in talking about the hardships that women face, and this is a big problem, because what abortion advocates are really arguing for is not that abortion should be legal only in cases where there's a hardship. They're arguing it's a fundamental right that a woman can exercise for any reason she wants, and that is their position. And if that is their position, they should argue for it, not hide behind the hard cases.
I'm curious about the description of abortion that was given in this video. I'm not a medical expert, but it didn't sound very accurate to me.
No, she talks about sticking a straw in, and basically the way she put it is sucking out the contents of the pregnancy, I think is the language that she used. And she likened it to a bad dentist appointment. Well, I got news for you. I've got Warren Hearn's book in my hand right now. Warren Hearn is America's leading abortionist. He's written the book called Abortion Practice that teaches doctors how to perform abortions. And Dr. Hearn in that book talks about doing second trimester abortions where he reaches into the uterus and squishes the skull of the developing child and pops it like a ping pong ball being popped with pliers, and talks about how you can recognize the sign of the brain material oozing out. That doesn't sound like a simple thing of just putting a straw in. And even first trimester abortion, if you look at when most abortions are done, from about 7 weeks gestational age through about 11 weeks in the first trimester, even then we are not talking about a straw. We're talking about a powerful suction device that sucks out the small child, the developing human, and to liken this to a straw is pure propaganda.
The children seem to be genuinely curious about this, but one of the things that struck me watching the video is some of them actually seem to be unaware that they were there to talk about this woman's abortion.
That is interesting. interesting, isn't it? Yeah, that they almost—it almost seems sort of like it was sprung on them. That is interesting. I'm glad you brought that up. And I'll tell you what I think is going on there, Todd. I can't prove it, but I'll tell you what I think is going on. I think most children, in their natural state, before the educational establishment can get to them and brainwash them otherwise, they are pro-life. And I'm going to give an example of this. When my daughter was in second grade, I went to her second grade public school class. They wanted to hear from an author. And since I was an author, I was invited in. And I decided to talk to them about pro-life. And I didn't describe abortion, obviously, but I held up a picture of a child in the womb at 9 weeks, a photograph taken with intrauterine device. And I said to the children, "What is this?" And they all said, "That's a baby in a mother's tummy." And then I said, "Dude, does this baby differ from us in any way that's interesting?" And they said, "Well, he's smaller. He's not as cute because he's bald everywhere." And they came up with all these, you know, cute little things they had noticed. And then I said, "Is he any less alive and any less human than us?" And they all shouted, "No." They get this. And so I think when you get a video like this where they come along and they spring it on the children, it's noticeable that it seems like a bit of an awkward fit.
What do you make of the slogan or the name of the overall campaign, "Shout Your Abortion"? What do you think is in that?
I'll tell you what I think is in it politically, and then I'll tell you what I think is in it spiritually. Politically, what's going on is they recognize that the attempt to straddle the fence isn't working real well. It doesn't seem to work real well to say, on one hand, abortion is bad, but we kind of need to make it legal. And it raises the question, well, why? If it's bad, why are we trying to make it legal? Why are we promoting it? And because they want to promote it, they realize that that's just not a tenable position. They're going to have to pick a side. They're going to have to pick one. And they're choosing, this wing at least of the abortion rights movement is choosing to unapologetically campaign for abortion. Spiritually, what's happening is that I think all of us in our fallen state are looking to justify ourselves. Our culture loves to justify sin, and abortion is a sin, and we're seeing people who are looking for substitute saviors. Instead of repenting and turning to the only one who can save them, they instead look to justify their behavior so there's nothing to repent of. And the substitute savior they're looking for is a guilt-free existence. And we know biblically they're not going to find that.
I've spoken with a frequent guest on the program, Dr. J. Bujaszewski.
Yes.
And he's written several books, but the first one I encountered was called Revenge of Conscience, where he talks about when man's conscience, God-given conscience,
yes,
is suppressed, it asserts itself in other ways and often in very destructive ways. Do you think part of the shouting your abortion might be that conscience reasserting itself or attempting to silence itself?
I think so. And Jay's written another book called What We Can't Not Know that talks about moral principles that are written in our hearts and our nature as human beings by God. And when we violate those things, try as we might, we nonetheless find those truths seeping out anyway. And more honest abortion advocates will write about that. People like Camille Paglia, she would never go for this video. She's a feminist, supports abortion, and what she basically says is, let's call it what it is, it's murder. It's not getting rid of cells. It's not sucking a pregnancy out with a straw. It is the concrete execution of an individual human being simply because we want to do it. She's honest about it. Warren Hearn, the abortionist, talks about abortion procedures, and he says, you can no longer deny what's going on. The sensations of dismemberment flow through the forceps like an electric current. Now, those people are being more honest about what's going on. What these campaigns are trying to do is say, it's really not that bad, but we're going to stop apologizing for it. We're just going to say, fine. But the problem is they're not being honest about what abortion is.
You said that you don't think that this kind of propaganda is going to ultimately be very effective. Why is that?
For the same reason that you just mentioned, the books by Jay Budashevsky, for example, I think there are moral truths written on the human heart, and you can only go against them so long before it starts to wear the other way. And I think that pro-lifers have the upper hand here. We've got better intuitional tools. We can show pictures of abortion. She can talk about it being only a straw. Hey, I've got imagery. We show it when we go speak. There are groups out there like Created Equal, Center for Bioethical Reform, Stand to Reason, Life Training Institute. We use images to depict what abortion is. And when our audiences see abortion, it changes the narrative. I think Greg Cunningham put it real well. He says pro-lifers need to stop protesting abortion and start exposing it. And the reason is when you expose abortion, you show the pictures of abortion, abortion protests itself. And that ties into the moral intuitions that Jay Budiszewski and others have talked about.
So Planned Parenthood has a brand new president who is a physician, Leanna Wen, and she's just getting her feet under her, but she has been championing a campaign called This Is Healthcare. And of course, she is speaking, and she has recently been quoted on Twitter talking about abortion as the core value of Planned Parenthood. What's your reaction to her saying this is healthcare?
Well, it's interesting. Abortion is not healthcare because babies are, or pregnancy is not a disease, and children in the womb are not tumors. It's a misnomer, but they want to spin it as healthcare, and they want to legitimize it. It's an attempt to legitimize abortion. Abortion doctors have been viewed in the medical community as bottom feeders for decades. And what Planned Parenthood is realizing is that if they want to maintain their market edge, reaching women at risk for abortion, simply being about abortion won't do it. So what they're trying to do is make it an overall healthcare approach and, you know, de-emphasize abortion a little bit. And that's got some people on the abortion rights side uneasy. They're upset that they view this as Planned Parenthood backing off abortion advocacy. They're not.
Well, January 22nd is going to mark another anniversary of the Supreme Court's decision, Roe v. Wade. What are your thoughts on this time?
Well, we're talking in this country, Todd, 61 million intentionally killed innocent human beings since 1973. I think we need to just stop for a second and let that sink in. That's what we are up against. And yet, it saddens me that even in pro-life circles, you have attempts to move the goalpost and not focus on what we're really about. Our efforts should be aimed at stopping that killing. That's the goal. Instead, you have attempts to make pro-life now mean all kinds of other things: care for the poor, stopping the opiate crisis, being for immigration, supporting refugees, all of which Christians need to think and act intelligently on. But the pro-life movement this year in particular, in light of 61 million, needs to keep the main thing the main thing. We are a movement about saving innocent human lives that are scheduled to be destroyed. That's our job, to intervene and stop that. And we got to keep the main thing the main thing. So that's what I'm thinking about as we approach this anniversary of Roe v. Wade.
You spoke a moment ago about exposing, not protesting, but you wouldn't discourage people to be in our nation's capital for the March.
Oh, no, that's not a protest. The March for Life is saying to our nation, this is wrong. It needs to be done. And they're exposing abortion in the sense that they're showing that there are large numbers of Americans who are not opposed to this. And there are pro-lifers who will be part of that march who are going to have the images displaying what's going on. And that's a good thing. We are at such a point right now, Todd, where simply shouting a conclusion to the public that abortion is wrong isn't going to get it done. We need to move beyond shouting conclusions and start establishing facts. And when we show the images of abortion, Greg is right. Abortion protests itself.
Scott Klusendorf is president of Life Training Institute and author of the book, The Case for Life, Equipping Christians to Engage the Culture. You can purchase this book and learn more about Life Training Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Scott, keep up the good work.
Thank you, my friend. Always good to be with you.
When we come back, Pastor Matt Harrison is going to join us. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're going to talk with him about a recent article he's written titled, Let's Be Who We Are, about being and remaining Lutheran. Stay tuned.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press. Saving Western civilization one student at a time.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Be Strong and Courageous from Joshua 1:9 is the theme for the 41st academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the people of his pasture. Why then do we still suffer in this life? Disease, loneliness, persecution. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm collaborating with Cheryl Swope, Molly Hemingway, and a host of literary friends in He Restores My Soul, a book that takes an honest look at hardship and heartache in light of God's promises found in his word. He Restores My Soul is now available at emmanuelpress.us, emmanuelpress.us.